We got a call?
We do now. Yep.
Finally got a call.
Good. So welcome, everybody. Thank you all for coming.
3:23.
3:23. It is. Meeting was properly noticed. I know that. I saw it. Although the website has this meeting still meeting over the chamber. But that's okay. So next step is the approval of the minutes back from September. So you have them in front of you.
Second.
You have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Cool. Strategic plan update.
Strategic plan update. We still need to work on getting an educational component included in what we're doing. We had talked about putting together some type of a seminar, piggybacking off of seminars, and we have not yet identified one that we could collaborate with. We really need to come up with something. Has anybody got any ideas?
If we do a standalone, we don't think we'll get there.
We don't think we will, because the last time we did a standalone, we didn't get enough. The word didn't get out. We did a mailing, and we had 7 people show up. So, yeah, that just wasn't an effective way of communicating.
Is there any way to piggyback on something at the chamber and one of their ongoing...
We had talked about doing that.
Yeah, it looks... Morning,
well,
afternoon,
that
was
that.
Yeah, I think you need to do more than one. I mean,
mm-hmm.
Right. That'd be one. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people like the SBC, the 12 guys, they're doing seminars,
mm-hmm.
and something has to tag a lot of them, and that obviously, if they have to set a couple of small
shows,
they get more of them in there. But those people, especially the SBC kind of thing, those ones who definitely reach their sponsor.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I think the CEP would be a good fit as well. And I can chat with Jay about the calendar for next year for the Juicy Talks, because I'm sure that that'll be put in place soon. So I think there's potential there.
All right. For a Tuesday talk, we might want to, well, I think we would need to brainstorm what the topic would be. We would need to make it meaningful.
Sure.
And
just, you know, the body of tax and some tax incentives, not on this week.
Well, what we've done in the past is we've gone out and done presentations to different groups. We've talked to the local commercial real estate group. We haven't been successful in getting in front of the CPA organization, but we've talked to several banks, we've been to the Rotary Club, and we've talked about the things that the city is doing for economic development, and we also talk about the incentives that are available to businesses. That's one of the ways that we're communicating, but we're not actually doing anything active to assist entrepreneurs within the enterprise zone. I don't know that we're actually meeting the purpose of the strategic plan.
What I will say regarding the power plant with Ryan Lilly,
mm-hmm.
is that some of his focus is certainly for the tenants that are in the power plant,
mm-hmm.
but a key component is also
he's
for entrepreneurs that are in the community. So
yeah.
That, from the CEP perspective, that may be a better fit.
Mm-hmm.
For what you're wanting to do with this educational component,
yeah.
versus just another gathering where you share what you offer.
Yeah. And the college has an instructor on board now that's teaching entrepreneurial class. I think that being back as a participant in this classroom this year with those students, because they are already in an entrepreneurial type focus role that they're taking classes to stay at it. So.
Okay. All right, maybe we can do something. Jimmy, is there anything going on with GoCDC? How many active members do you have? Do you know?
creating a minimum board.
Yeah.
Well, we have an outstanding board. We have new members on our board, very smart people. We have a new board president, vice chairman. We have some of the older board members still around, but we're looking to get some newer members there. Right now, they kind of put everything on hold for a while until we can, finish completing some of the other, I guess, organizational issues that is not there and cleaning up. But we're looking forward to the future. We have brought in a new board members, so you can only respond to. We want to get our housing for it. We have been developing partnerships with some other groups. We had a meeting at your office yesterday.
Okay, right. That was out, but yeah.
Yeah, with Mayor Brett. With some of his partners who wants to do some things and everything.
Yeah, I never got the call, so.
Yeah, I just checking, you know, it's kind of, we were looking, this is new business coming down, you know, perspective. Nothing is concrete at this point in time. But there's some things they have to do, as you were just having to do with the courts and everything. Finance and those sort of things together, but there is some talk of this group of people signing an agreement to come to a deal. But it's a matter of, you know, and a couple of them, they're working out some details in Washington, D.C. With some business partners that they're putting on there. And they're trying to get some insurance. They've already looked at a structure here, it's in the county. That they would like to house this project. So we've been doing that, and the exciting thing that we have worked on, again, we're currently in the beginning stages, and we probably most already occurred, is the STEM, we call it STEAM.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had the good fortune of meeting this gentleman's son, which he calls in Massachusetts. He's one of those kind of people who talk on different levels. It's one of those people, they're some of the who direct textbooks that we have to read two or three times, because that way the same. He's one of those kind of folks. Anyway, he is, for whatever reason, he's been inspired to work with us to try and do the STEAM project here with y'all. He's tapped into Massachusetts Institute of Technology. Some of those guys there, we've really got to talk to parents who's out in Colorado at the university there. And so what we do right now is, in the beginning stages of putting together the STEAM program, but it's going to be different than anything that's out there. Because we can't come from a community engagement perspective, as opposed to, you know, I've seen some folks here, like Cornerstone, they've built a building called a STEM building, and so they're taking that approach, but we're taking a different one. And these guys, like I said, they're very sharp. They go all over the world doing these projects. They're not like they just walk out this way. Anyway, we look at Ocala as a challenge. We look at Ocala as a challenge. I say, this is a new frontier. But they are going to come and look at the kids, Hispanic kids, all our children. And so again, they look at Ocala as a challenge. And so they go, picking it up. And we picked it up, I was in a meeting yesterday, at a school there, at the Thomas West. But they're supposed to everyone participate and they come back in January, I'll spend a week here and engage several different people with it. Also in the University of Central Florida as well. So that's what we've been kind of working on that. And kind of get the microphone program back again. Because it was successful and we developed some added strategies to our microphone program that we had before. And we like our model. It's locally controlled and focused and directed. And so we really, really are pushing to get that going. Again, so things that we try to get our computer lab back up. The folks can come in and use the systems to, you know, do their jobs, fly our cases, stuff like that.
Do you guys still have an access computer there?
Pardon?
Do you still have an access computer there?
I don't know what we got.
Okay.
I got to get it when it cranked up, so I can see what's there, but it probably wouldn't have that if it was there, maybe it's not. Maybe also.
Any of the computers can have to access, so yes, please.
Yeah, I was going to talk about the IT guy, they were talking about the thing.
Right, we need to check it out.
Okay.
Is that it?
Basically, and we've trying to do some refinancing of the administrative buildings. You know, we literally would like to be less like a hundred percent. Grant paid for it, not help mortgage. It would be our ideal goal. It would be great if something like that happened. Now, this is a thing.
You need to talk to the county and see what the money is available out there.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's any CDBG money available or not. But.
Yeah, well, I'm dealing with that. First one was Sunset Bank, now the second one was Florida Community Loan Fund. They can go and make some progress with that. The rhythm has not even had And we do have some folks that we, and that's something that, you know, I guess the party of keep planning. We had quite a few people attending the summit that we had, a lot of small businesses.
The legal summit, is that the one you're talking about? The legal summit?
No, we had the micro, minority micro business summit. We had the Holiday Inn and Suites on June 29th. And we had over 70-some people show up. Had a great turnout. That's when we met our business partners. They showed up there out of this curiosity. And they liked what they saw. They liked the work that was done. And we had some pretty good presenters there. And some of the people that we signed up, we did have a roster. Some of them could use, don't know all the resources available to them. So that's another possibility. And one of the things we talked about there was setting up like we call it, we call it these group of hearing centers. Venting sessions. An opportunity, you know, some people didn't, they get frustrated with things and the place they come to sit and talk freely about stuff. Okay? And the number of people who expressed a few behaviors to do that. And you get to talk and then about the word, you know, we're going to bring going all over town. But most of the folks, they are also looking for resources. And then again, the question becomes, how to find resources and how they're going to be put to get these calendars, how they're going to use the calendar. So that's another thing. But that does have a possibility. That's just what those folks want to look at. And most definitely, our business partners are going to put all of us.
Okay.
That's what we're looking for.
Okay, I was remiss. I was supposed to take a roll call. Okay. So, are you here? You got everybody's name that's here? Okay.
Messing up like this, there's no danger that you're not going to get reelected chair next year. Don't get stressed.
Keep up the good work.
That's right.
Do I need to call all these names?
Yes.
Okay. Alfred Van Duyn, not
absent.
Here.
Absent.
He's excused.
Yes, excused.
Bill Bakowicz.
Absent.
Brad, I'm here. Brenda. Here. Greg Graham.
Here.
Jerome Johnson.
Absent.
Jerome Gamble.
Absent.
Jimmy Griffin.
Here.
Kevin Sheely.
Carol Slocum here, and his
dad.
Leonard Berenger.
Absent.
Michael Hagloff resigned.
Has resigned.
Philip has resigned.
Yes.
And Scott Hackmeyer.
Here.
Okay.
Your email to promote the more people.
I just got them to jump off. They quit. They quit.
Yeah. Yeah, gee, if you're going to make me come to a meeting, I don't know.
No, I just wanted it for my resume.
Yeah, right.
Anything else on strategic planning?
I think that's it for me.
Okay. And then we're back to you on updates on businesses and eligible applicants.
We've received an additional application in the past week for additional incentives for one of our companies, which is a good thing. A machinery and equipment tax refund, so that's a good deal. That's the only thing we've received on those.
Can I ask if the business apply alien engineering?
It is not.
I think they are. I'll get to the address just because they.
Seems like we've heard about
it. It's a welding machine shop, and they actually just this month are hiring for doing the front end project too, but I thought it was to work out.
They actually did
come. They're good paint shops.
I think they did contact us. They're actually expanding, or they're moving, they're out in the county and it's moving into the city limits.
Because of course what they told me, because Rick Michael had reached out to me, and I reached out to them, and he told me they were in the building, and I thought, I think it is.
I think they came in, they're pulling permits, and getting building permits and things like that.
They're in work.
I talked to them briefly about some of the incentives and benefits of the enterprise zone, and left my contact and Melanie's contact information. So
they're at $18-$19 an hour for the process. Very good. So
okay, good. Vacancies.
Well, yeah. Before we went on record, we talked about the fact that there are 9 vacancies. We have received 5 applications to renew positions, and I have drafted the council item to go on council agenda for the appointment of the 5 who have sent in their application to renew their terms. So that leaves us with 4 positions that are going to need to be filled. I believe Bill Bakowitz's position is expiring this term. Leonard Berenger, I have not heard from. So what we are looking for is a code enforcement board representative. If Bill does not choose to continue, we also need someone with financial background. And we continue to look for business owners and residents of the enterprise zone. I left a message for Jillian Ramsamy with the college to get in touch with me. She might know someone, or she may be interested in serving with us. She had indicated an interest a year or two ago.
Okay.
So that's where we are with that. We're leaving the announcement open and asking council to go ahead and appoint the 5 so that we can continue to operate.
All right, Brownfield Assessment Grant application. I know you had me sign a letter of support.
Right. Last year, the city applied for $200,000 for Brownfield Assessment funding. The grant funding availability has been announced. We have not had an opportunity to see the actual grant announcement. I believe there are some technical difficulties with the grants.gov site in getting everything that we need, including some type of legal review at the federal level. So the city is planning to apply. The word that we have is that the applications are due the 22nd of January. We do have another meeting scheduled among this group for January 8th. Which we'll talk about later, but
if the city chooses to move forward, which we're planning to do, we would like support of this group, just as we did last year. So what we're asking is that you would allow our chair, if he gets reappointed, to sign the letter of support for the Brownfield Assessment Grant application. And there's a draft letter in front of you. The letter would be very similar to what is here.
You have a second? All those in favor?
Discussion?
Okay. Sorry.
This grant isn't the grant that comes in and examines contamination of the soil?
Yes, it is.
That is that grant?
Yes.
There was an issue with this a few years back, and that the grant paid for you to do that, but then it determined that the soil was contaminated. There was no money to remedy that. And so it actually was, I don't want to say it was harmful, but some of the business owners felt it was harmful because it was actually saying, okay, now we discovered contamination on your property, so you can't use it unless you pay hundreds of thousands of dollars to remedy it. So is this, in fact, a good grant for us to get?
And there are some misconceptions about how this grant program works.
Mm-hmm.
One of the reasons you would get an assessment is not only to find contamination, but also to clear a property of contamination, mm-hmm. And say that there isn't a problem there.
Okay.
I would have to get some more details from Kim Walker with the state DEP, but just because contamination is found does not mean that they imminently have to do something right away.
Mm-hmm.
There are some things, steps that would have to be taken, but having this grant and having people work it is not.
It used to be a little apart.
Right.
They did a lot of burning here, and that was, they used the ground to use rent for that, to acquire that property, and they had to clear it up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether or not they would have to get some additional funds to,
mm-hmm.
to clear it up, to turn it into what it is today, but that was one.
So you definitely know you want to develop the property. At least this is paying for the cost of identifying what your problem is, or as you said, there might not be a problem.
This is also an assessment. This isn't the assessment grant. There's two grants, well, there's actually three grants. You have the assessment, the cleanup, and then the revolving loan fund. So the first one is paying for the assessment on the property. And then once you kind of determine what the, if you have contamination or not, then we can identify certain sites throughout the city and apply for a cleanup grant for the next year, which will allow us to increase another $200,000.
So the results of this could be used to,
exactly.
to go from phase two to phase
cleanup grant.
Process
that
you'd be
looking at.
Right.
Yeah, they've
already
been
at
this
little
problem downtown with color.
The Taylor Bean and Whitaker headquarter building was a meat packing plant, and it was cleaned up using Brownfield funding.
I'm comfortable.
We actually used the assessment grant for Phoenix Place, that street, because of the charcoal plant. Yeah, because of the charcoal plant.
And that came out clean?
Clean, yeah.
That can help you determine, there's different levels of contamination.
Right.
There's certain levels where it can be on the ground, as long as you're not moving a lot of dirt, it can still build on top of it. So that's one of the other things that allows for that.
Okay. All right, thank you.
All right, and all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, there we go. All right. Topics for future discussion.
Is there, this is the dead horse issue, but I haven't been part of the conversation for a long time. It'd be wonderful to have a small airline flying out of this airport, and I know we're not going to bring in 727s, but it'd be wonderful if we had little Delta Express or some airline that, you know, we're talking about FedEx, we're talking about executives, we're talking about developing an airport, we're talking about developing Magna, whatever that's called now, 489 project. It's got some official name, Calamarian.
It's a Calam, well.
You know what I'm talking about.
Calamarian Commerce Park.
Who would be the appropriate person to invite to a meeting to discuss the feasibility of
Matt Grove
trying to bring a commuter?
Matt can shed light on how that process works. It is something that's driven by the private sector and by FAA. It's not likely we'll get passenger service here, but we'd be happy to invite Matt to our next meeting and let him talk to you about how that
process works. I would love to hear the process and why, you know, it was before my time that Eastern flew into Ocala. Mm-hmm. But if at one time we had passenger service and...
Yeah, why wouldn't we have passenger service as well? Too small, but...
Because of where we're located is one of the reasons.
Meaning too close to Gainesville or...
Gainesville's got service and there are other large airports that provide it. The city or another entity would have to subsidize the air service in order for it to come here because the airlines would have to have a regular schedule. If they can't schedule regular flights and have them booked to a certain level, they won't come. It's an economic issue.
All right, well, maybe you can have a point there. Maybe you can put it into the baseball.
Yeah.
You know, it's coming in. Yeah, maybe the public. I need some of
I would like to hear some conversation about whether the airport could be developed.
Well, the airport needs
for commuter service.
Are you going to say something, Greg?
Yeah, when I was in Iowa, we had an airport inside the city, and you know, I got to be fairly good friends with the airport director, kind of like I'm fairly good friends with Matt. Mm-hmm. The issue, I mean, you're right, it is an issue with the FAA and TSA and the federal government, but the true issue isn't that. The true issue is selling an airline to provide service here. And if, and when I talked with the guy there, the regional airport that we had, American, Delta, Allegiant, and US Air flew in and out there, but they, it was, you know, a flight to Chicago, to Denver, to Houston for a little while, and Delta flew to Atlanta and then stopped that, and Delta pulled out. And it really is all driven by how many passengers they're going to have to fly. And when you look at Ocala, it's like Gainesville. Gainesville has flights to Atlanta, and they have flights to Miami. I don't think they fly anywhere else, maybe. So it's, you know, where's Ocala going to fly to? Where are you going to fly from to connect? Miami.
But interestingly, Atlanta. Our population is larger than Gainesville's population, but they do have the university traffic, which I understand.
So, I don't know that you're going to be able to sell, not that it's not worth the conversation, because I'm sure Matt's had these conversations and can shed light on it. But, you know, it's going to be hard. I mean, it was hard for my friend in Cedar Rapids to sell, and it was the Eastern Iowa Airport. I mean, it was the only airport basically on the eastern side of Iowa, and they had difficulty selling because Chicago O'Hare was 4 hours away, and Des Moines had a big airport, but it was 2 hours away, so it was good.
Was that your closest airport 2 hours away?
Outside of, well, the Cedar Rapids Airport was 15 minutes away. There was a smaller regional airport in Moline, which is right on the border of Iowa and Illinois, and they had more flights than Cedar Rapids did. They had a bigger area. So yeah, it's the bigger issue. I don't think it's an issue of getting. I think you could get federal approval.
Oh.
The thing is selling an airline to fly in here and investing the money in the staff and training and all the stuff that they end up having to do on the back end. And it's a lot.
It is a lot.
So I'd love that. I mean, I think Detroit flying airports would be wonderful.
Just my suggestion for a topic.
I'd love to hear from them.
Okay.
That would be great.
Well, we will invite him to the next week.
Are you looking for topics?
Yes.
Okay. Does the county have an enterprise zone?
No, they do not.
Do we do any joint economic development projects with the county?
We partner with them.
Yeah, they're trying to do the big baseball field.
They're involved in the baseball project.
That's it.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a.
The proposed stadium.
And the 49 or 389 or whatever.
Oh, California 89 for FedEx, yes, that's a joint project. Yeah. They have also joined in supporting Sitel, and we brought them in.
Yes, I guess you have your report calls to engage in the county and
see. Yeah, pretty much. Have you got something in mind? Is there a project that you're interested in? Or?
I was trying to looking at, the problematic involvement in the Berry County, including, all the cities that's come in from the Berry County.
Right.
And, I guess the regional planning council, I'm trying to do something like that.
The Fucucci Regional Planning. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we look at ways of in Marion County, joint type of other economic development projects, economic development strategies. Okay, to promote the overall community, even if that city building is ready to plan.
Well, that's the role that the CEP plays, is to promote economic development for the entire county. So they engage the different partners when opportunities arise, mm-hmm. depending on what the needs are for the business entity. So if you've got someone or a project that you're working with, I would direct them to Carol and Kevin.
No, I'll disappear. I understand the CEP approach.
Right.
I'm just looking at it as far as local jurisdictions, planning, having, 5 rings, 10 rings, 10, 20 rings, plans.
You guys are here, could there be a second enterprise zone within the county?
The county could do their own.
So there could be two separate.
Bellevue could do one.
Okay.
I mean, each one of the entities within the county could, municipalities could. I'm trying to remember if it was Bellevue that I talked to. One of the local cities was looking into it. But yeah. We're always happy to assist.
I guess there are some areas like in my hometown where the approach is some locations, there was a big effort in some communities to do consolidation. Solid government, and communication.
Right.
So, and some communities have moved in that direction to minimize, all the little pieces here that are duplicating stuff that don't really need to be duplicated to get taxpayer money. So, we have thought of anything like that in terms of reaching out to other areas.
There's been studies done in past years of consolidation. There's been some consolidation efforts. Nothing recent. The college, what's the name of the committee of the college?
Public policy.
It's about to embark on something to do with, I won't say it's consolidation, but it's...
We're looking at our next study is going to be on the truth cost of crime of the justice system.
And the potential of consolidating some services in that. We talked up the police department called up somebody, so we should.
We appreciate that.
To help do that. But I think the last time any serious study was done on consolidation was probably 30 years ago.
It's really the only one I can remember is the call center for police and fire rescue.
Yeah, that was recent. That was within the last couple of years. Jury's still out on that. Please don't take anything I said as discouraging. I mean, I'm a conservative guy. I'm all for saving money as much as you can, but you just sometimes you have to measure what you gain or what you lose. Sorry.
I don't know if it fits our mission, but now that Heathbrook has come out of foreclosure, I would love to hear from the developers. In fact, I'm surprised that nothing has happened since it came out of foreclosure, except for a lot of release signs on every
base. There's a new, you're talking about there's a new owner.
Yeah, it's come out of foreclosure. Yeah. There's a new owner. There's a new PCA somewhere.
Yes.
What's that?
They're out of Texas, right? Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, I've heard, because they bought so cheap, they can obviously offer retail rates much less expensive than the original owners, but I still don't see anything happening.
Well, they've kind of gone through Bruce's preference site. There's a lot of issues out there. They have like kind of patched over all the parking area and trying to clean that up.
Patched over is correct.
Because there's other issues, structural issues that are there to address, and they've come into the city we're talking about. We're trying to give them a history. So right now, I think they're kind of assimilating all the information that we provide to them, and they're come back. They have kind of indicated that they're going to be doing some sort of community development stuff out there and trying to hold a post.
Well, it'd be interesting to have them in there.
And it would be interesting to hear what their plans are. I go to a shopping center called Wiregrass, which is just north of Tampa. It's very, very similar to Heathbrook, the concept of the open shopping, and mm-hmm. you park right outside the store, and that place is just booming. I don't think there's a vacant storefront in that. Yeah. They have a Dillard's, a Penny's, and a Macy's, along with, you know.
There's one in Jacksonville that's anchored by four big restaurants.
Yeah. And I mean, it's so vibrant, and it brings so much business, and people come from all over. I mean, it is this an economic stimulus, to be honest. So I keep hoping that something's going to happen in the market in Heathbrook or whatever.
Well, we know that they're working on it.
So it would be kind of interesting just to hear what they're planning.
Yeah. Okay, anything else? Our proposed schedule for future meetings. I will be out of town on January 8th.
Aubrey and I were looking at this calendar, wondering if it really makes sense for us to meet again in about 3 weeks.
Yes, why did I stop?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Probably not.
Would we want to have a meeting? We have to, it's required by statute in order to manage the Enterprise Zone program to have a quarterly meeting.
Quarterly meeting.
So January, February.
So you can do February or March?
February 5th, which is a Wednesday.
The 5th of February is a Wednesday.
This is the first Wednesday.
Do we normally meet the first or the second?
We were normally meeting the second Wednesday
right.
of the month.
So if we could look at February 12th.
I'll be out of town.
Oh, you'll be out of town for North Carolina?
I'm in D.C. that day.
Okay.
That whole week.
Okay.
I'm looking at our field. I'm sorry, is that what you're asking for?
Yes.
Either those are good at the moment.
February 5th. Okay.
February 5th?
I can do that.
Yeah, I can do February 5th. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
February 5th?
Yes. Yeah.
For yes. 3 o'clock. So we're going to try to get this room
here.
Here, Jimmy.
Not in Bellevue.
I'll say that with you. I have money on my mind, but can I turn around? If I knew this was one.
Hey, you're the plum.
What about the rest of the meetings? Should we just leave them and discuss them?
Yeah, why don't we do that?
I'll just leave them.
Okay, so we're canceling the 8th and moving to the 5th?
Right, yes.
It actually works out well because a lot of people who are going to meet on January 1 have postponed their meetings to January 8th, so we won't be conflicting with people who postponed from January 1.
Good deal.
All right. Anything else for the good of the order? Motion to adjourn?
Motion. Second. All in favor.
All in favor.
Aye.
4:01. That's an hour.
Second, okay. Scott made the motion. Okay.
That's I don't have a second by our motion.
No. Thanks.
Have fun, eh?
Yes.
Phase 2.